Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome all the boys and girls, mums and dads, visitors, grannies and granddads, and all who have gathered with us here today. We welcome you to our annual Children's Day services, a day very special in our church calendar, a day we've been looking forward to very much and praying for today. And we pray that the Lord will give help to all who will take part, and that in everything today the Lord will be honoured and glorified. And the Lord will give help, especially to the Lord's servant as he brings God's word. Special welcome to our guest speaker today, the Reverend Glenn Wilkinson from our church in Londonderry. Welcome him. We pray that you know God's help and blessing in the ministry of God's word. Now, we're going to turn to our first hymn of praise this morning in our hymn book, on the page 191. It's the hymn number 40. The hymn number 40 on the page 191. It reminds us of the importance of worship, and of worshipping the Lord, who is King of Kings. And he's the one that we worship today. It says, O worship the King, all glorious above. O gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. The hymn number 40 in the page 191 will stand as we sing. And let us each one sing it out with all of our hearts. we just unite our hearts together in a word of prayer. Let us just look afresh to the Lord today, praying for His help, His presence, His blessing upon our services and upon all who take part today. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we come to Thee today in prayer and in worship, and we come to Thee through the name of Thy Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who loved us, the One who died for us upon the cross, and the One who rose again victorious the third day. And Father, we thank that He paid the price of our redemption in full upon the cross of Calvary when He suffered and bled and died. And Father, we thank Thee today that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the Saviour of sinners, the Saviour of boys and girls, of mums and dads, and grannies and granddads. We thank Thee, O God, that He is able to save, even to the very uttermost, all that come unto God by Him. And Father, we thank Thee for this Thy day. We thank Thee for the blessing of the Lord's day, this one day when we can set aside the normal routine of life, and we can meet together here in Thy house to worship Thee. We thank Thee for all who have been able to come today. And we thank Thee especially for the boys and girls with us from our Sunday school and Bible class. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless our meetings today. We realize, Lord, that it is Thy presence that makes the feast. And Father, from this opening hymn to the last amen this evening, we pray that there'll be a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord with us and among us here today. Bless every head bowed before Thee, O God. We thank Thee for all the children of our Sunday school, and we pray that Thou wilt bless them, each one, as they will take part today. May they know the help and the blessing of the Lord with them and round about them. And Lord, we pray not only will they know Thy help, but Thou, Lord, will make them a blessing as they say their pieces and do their parts, we pray. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that Thou art one that is a special plan and purpose for boys and girls and for children. We thank Thee, O God, that Christ said in Thy word, suffer the little children to come unto Me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. We pray for all our boys and girls in our Sunday school and all the children here with us today, that each and every one of them would come to know and to trust the Lord as their Savior. We pray that Thou would bless them and lead them on in the ways of God, and that Thou would use them for Thy glory and honor. We thank Thee for all the grown-ups with us here today as well. And Lord, as our faces would differ, so do our needs. We pray that Thou would bless each one who is gathered with us today. Bless every child of God. Encourage Thy people. For any with us today who know not the Lord as Savior, Lord, we pray, speak to them. And even, Lord, through the ministry of Thy word today, through the ministry of the children here and our Children's Day services, that they would come to know the Lord as Savior. We thank Thee for health and strength. We thank Thee for food and raiment. We thank Thee, Father, for freedom and liberty to come to Your house today. And we thank Thee for Thy word, that Thy word is truth, that it is forever settled in heaven. And Lord, our prayer is today that Thou would just speak through Thy truth. Remember others that cannot come today because of age and sickness and infirmity. Lord, bless them and minister to them. And Lord, those that would listen in online, whoever they are, wherever they might be, Lord, minister to them by Thy grace and by Thy power. Bless our land today, Lord. Bless wherever Thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed. And Father, we pray that throughout these islands, that even today, there'll be many boys and girls, many young people, many grown-ups, many adults will put their faith and trust in the Lord for salvation. We thank Thee today, O God, that Thou art the great I Am. Thou art the God of creation. Thou didst make this world in 6 days. Thou didst speak it into existence out of nothing. And we, Father, we thank Thee today that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Bless us now, we pray. Remember especially Thy servant, the Reverend Wilkerson. We thank Thee for him. And as he brings Your word later on, may know great help and blessing. Remember his own congregation today for good as well. May Thy blessing be known there. Here in heaven, Thy dwelling place, answer prayer. And do us good now, we pray. And continue with us in the remaining part of this meeting. We ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. And amen. Well, without further ado, we're going to enter into our program. And I know the boys and girls have been practicing really hard over this last few weeks. It's been a joy to hear them every Sunday morning. We come to God's house and practicing. We pray the Lord will bless them richly and make them a blessing today. And we're going to hand now over to Jessica, one of our children from our Sunday school, Jessica Foy. She's going to do the narration of the program on this part of the meeting. Jessica, now please. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to our Children's Day. This year our theme is birds in the Bible. Some of you may enjoy watching birds or feeding them in the winter, or perhaps you're among those who may get slightly irritated when swallows build in your eaves. Regardless, there is no denying the beauty of birds, and we all delight in listening to the morning bird song in early spring. Birds are important to both man and the environment. They not only bring joy to many with their colour and song, but they also have an ecological value. They are important for insect and rodent control, plant pollination and dispersing seeds. Birds are also a valuable indicator of environmental health. Scripture has much to say about birds. We see them mentioned right from their creation in the book of Genesis through to the book of Revelation. This morning we are going to look at what the Old Testament has to say about birds. We know that God created the fowls of the air on the fifth day of creation. Now we are going to ask Jenna Foy to come and read from Genesis. Then after that, Eliana Foy and Julia Murr are going to play All Things Bright and Beautiful for us.
The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20 to 21, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life and fowls that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good."
The Bible mentions numerous species of birds birds, including the raven, dove, quail, partridge, peacock, ostrich, sparrow, stork, crane, bittern and vulture. We know our all-loving Heavenly Father cares for all of his creation, including the birds. Birds in the Bible have many different roles. Some were used as a food source, some as a currency of mercy for sacrifices, some had symbolic meanings, and others have been used to teach us Bible lessons. In the book of Exodus chapter 16, we read how God provided quails and manna to feed and sustain the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. He made a way for them, bringing them eventually to the promised land. We are now going to ask Laura and Richard's classes to come and sing, and then Laura's class will recite some scripture for us.
Exodus chapter 16, verse 4 and 5. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whatever they walk in my law or no. And it shall come to the pass that the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be as twice as much as they give out of daily.
And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning ye shall see the glory of the Lord, and that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us?
Exodus chapter 16, verse 8 and 9. And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord hath heard your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. What are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron and said unto all the congregations of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord have heard your murmurings.
Exodus chapter 16, verse 10 and 11. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake upon the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud, and the Lord spake upon Moses, saying.
I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And that even the quails may come up and cover the camp, and the dew may round about the host.
And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar first on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat.
And provision. He gave his people enough for each new day, just what they needed as opposed to what they wanted. A supply of manna came every morning and a fresh delivery of quails arrived each evening. God continued to provide everything the children of Israel needed as they travelled through the wilderness. They just had to trust God for each new day. Surely when God has been good enough to send us his only perfect Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear away our sins, we too can trust him each day and in every circumstance and difficulty of life. God is faithful to provide what we need, and all we have to do is simply trust him to keep his promises. Richard and Laura's classes are now going to sing God Keeps His Promises. In the book of 1 Kings, we read how ravens were a lifeline for Elijah in his time of need at the brook Cherith. The Lord had sent drought on the land as a punishment upon King Ahab. God instructed Elijah to go and hide by the brook Cherith, and then he commanded the ravens to bring Elijah bread and meat every morning and every evening. This is another example in Scripture of God's practical provision meeting us at the point of our need. Jehovah Jireh is one of God's titles and means God will provide. He literally provides for our daily physical and spiritual needs. Those who belong to him have the assurance and comfort of knowing that God is always working everything out for our good. We read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now Caroline's class are going to come and sing and recite for us.
Kings chapter 17 verses 1-2. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew or rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord,
the
came
Lord in. Of the Lord, commanded them,
get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan.
1 Kings chapter 17, verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there.
So he went
and did according unto the word of the Lord.
And the ravens brought bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank off the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land.
And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.
And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering the sticks.
God is always working.
Well, thank you, boys and girls. That was great, great singing. I could look down and see a lot of big smiles and grown-up people, and that was a good sign. So thank you all for taking part thus far, and we pray the Lord will help you. And we're looking forward to hearing from you later on again in the second part of the program. But we want to thank them for all who have taken part and working so hard even for today. We welcome you all in the Lord's great name, boys and girls, family members, friends, aunts and uncles, grandparents and members of the congregation, and all those who are viewing online as well. We thank you for joining with us today, and we pray the Lord will bless you and minister to you by his grace and power through his word. As we mentioned already, a special welcome to our guest speaker, Reverend Wilkinson. We're looking forward to his message later on. Just a few announcements I want to just leave with you. Do remember the afternoon meeting again today, the final meeting of our Children's Day service. Our service is normally at 7, but it's not at 7 tonight. It's at 3:30. So if you come at 7, there'll be nobody here but yourself. So come at 3:30 for our final Children's Day service. And that will also be followed by the prize giving for attendance at Sabbath school throughout the year. And again, our brother, the Reverend Wilkinson, will be with us to share God's word. And we're praying much for that meeting. Looking forward to that. Have a quick bite, have dinner, whatever, and get out again for church at 3:30. There'll be a time of prayer for those who are able to join with us in the prayer room just at 3:00 before the service at the rear there. A few announcements for the week. Monday, 2 p.m. meeting here at the church car park for the door-to-door outreach. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We commend that to every believer. Trust as many as possible will gather. They belong to bring God's word. Then the service is next Lord's Day, the 26th of June, morning service, 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7. Both services preceded the half hour of prayer, and I'll be along to minister God's word. Sunday school after today will be off until September, but certainly we would encourage all the children to attend church, even throughout the summer season. And Monday night, the 27th of June, through to Friday night, the 1st of July, from 6:30 in the evening to 7:45. There's a children's mission here in the church organized by Bethel Children's Crusade. Be much in prayer for that. And then the following week, Monday the 4th of July through to Friday the 8th of July, in Lisbelaw, Orange Hall, there's a children's mission there as well, from 10:30 in the morning to 12 noon. Be much in prayer for all these meetings. And if you can help in any way, and there is a need for helpers, I encourage you to contact our sister, Mrs. Gillian Moore, as soon as possible regarding that. She'll be glad of all the help. There are wee invites for those missions as well out there on the table in the porch. Take those and give them out to the boys and girls. Wednesday night, the 29th of June at 8 p.m., there's the annual church tidy-up. I encourage as many as possible to gather for that, the men outside and the ladies inside, just to prepare for the convention later on in the summer. There's also a wedding here as well. I want to just prepare for that and thank all those who do help with that each year. And again, do just remember, please, the Reverend Stephen McRae, one of our ministers, accepted a call there recently to be the new minister for church in Ballinahinch. His installation service is Friday the 8th of July, and that is in Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church. And pray for him as he takes up that work. Can I just remind you also of the wee invitations there for the convention from the 31st of July through to Lord's Day the 7th of August. You'll find them out there in the table in the porch. I encourage you to take those, the visiting speakers, and be much in prayer for that as well in the will of the Lord. And that is really all by way of necessary announcements. We're going to turn again in our hymn book to the hymn number 431, just to change our position. We don't take up an offering during the service, but the offering plates are at the rear there, and remember that just as you leave. 431 is a great hymn reminding us of how God guides and God directs us in life. And most importantly of all, he shows us the way to heaven by trusting the Lord to be our Savior. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. We'll stand as we sing, and let us really sing it out with all of our hearts. Jessica, now to narrate the second part of the program this morning. Thank you, Jessica.
The Bible also has multiple references to eagles. The eagle is considered to be a picture of strength, power, and freedom. Due to its majestic presence, the founding fathers of the United States choose the eagle as their national symbol. Eagles are first mentioned in Leviticus, where God forbids the children of Israel to eat them. In Deuteronomy 32, God likens his care for his people to that of a mother eagle protecting her young. Now Richard's class are going to recite from some scripture from Deuteronomy and Isaiah.
The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 9 to 12, "The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance.
He found him in the desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye.
As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings.
And the Lord alone did lead them, and there is no strange God with them.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation.
Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine.
Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle up upon thee.
The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31,
Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no stretching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth in strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall mount their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
In Isaiah 40, which you have just heard, we are exhorted to trust in God's power and provision. God's people will have a strength that the world cannot offer and will mount up with wings as eagles. The eagle is renowned for its ability to soar effortlessly at great altitudes. In fact, the eagle can fly higher than all other birds. So it is for the child of God, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9, We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. How? Because the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. He giveth power to us, so that we can mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Richard's class will now sing on eagle's wings.
Will raise you up on eagle's wings.
In Psalm 91, we read of the happy state of the godly. Verse 4 assures us how God covers us with his feathers, and in his wings we can trust. Now we're going to ask Isaac Mathers to come and read Psalm 91 for us.
Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall also cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of the night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thy. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling.
Now Jensen Scott is going to conclude our morning programme by reading the poem Who Taught the Birds.
Who taught the birds? Who taught the bird to build her nest of softest wool and hay and moss? Who taught her how to weave it best and lay the tiny twigs across? Who taught the busy bee to fly among the sweet herbs and flowers and lay her store of honey by, providing food for winter hours? Who taught the little ant the way her narrow cell so well to bore, and through the pleasant summer day to gather up her winter store? 'Twas God who taught them all the way and gave the little creature skill. He teaches children when they pray to know and do his heavenly will.
Well, thank you, boys and girls. That was really great this morning. We enjoyed you and were blessed through all your singing, your Bible readings and all the recitations. And I want to thank you all for working so hard and preparing for today. And we're really looking forward to you all coming back again this afternoon to take part. Thanks also to Chloe and Anna for playing as well and accompanying you on piano this morning. Now, I think, folks, we could maybe give our children a wee round of applause. Now, boys and girls, you just keep your arms folded, sit up really well, and we're going to ask now the Reverend Wilkerson to come and bring God's message to us this morning. Thank you, Reverend Wilkerson.
Well, hello, boys and girls and adults, and very high up here. I wouldn't want to be afraid of heights, standing way up here. But you did really well this morning, and I'm really blessed to be able to sit down there and listen to you, as I'm looking forward even to this afternoon. I do thank Reverend Porter for the invitation to come along, even to share in your children's Sunday this afternoon. And we pray the Lord will bless us even as we meet together. Well, just a wee word of prayer before we start. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for all that's went forth already in this service. Lord, we thank you that thy name has been glorified through the singing of the hymns, through the recital of the scripture, Lord, through all that's been said and done. Lord, bless each boy and girl, each family member who's gathered into the meeting today. And Lord, even now as we come to bring a little message, Lord, may it be blessed of thee. even in the saving of some precious soul. So be with us now, we ask, we pray, in our Saviour's name. Amen. Well, folks, I have a bag with me here today and a few things. We're going to have a wee look and see what's in it. But I want you to imagine for a moment, right, you're going on a journey. Think back maybe 100 years ago. Maybe you're called to be a missionary and you're heading off to Africa or some country far away and you'd never been there before. Maybe you're an explorer, maybe like David Livingstone or someone heading off, and you have to pack a bag and take it with you. I wonder what would you take with you? Now, as you think of that journey, I want you to imagine your life as a whole, each and every day. Life is a journey, and we're traveling through this world, and we're heading to our destination. And that's either one or two places the Bible tells us. If we're right of God, if we're saved, if we're born again, if we're a child of His, we're going to heaven. But if we're not, if we're still in our sin, the Bible speaks about the awful place called hell. But life, it's a journey. From the moment you're born, you're on a journey. And you travel through life day by day. And you need something as you go. So I have my bag here. I have some things in it. I'm just going to relook and see what I have. So you can tell me what these things are. Now, does anyone know what this is? This is a wee bit outdated because we don't need these anymore. But what's this? Anyone know what this is? Shout out. A book. It is a book, but what sort of book? Well, that's good. You're on the right track, yes? An atlas or a road map. We don't need these anymore because we've all got our Google Maps on our phones. But you know, years ago, before we had any technology, phones or these things, people used maps. And I'm sure your parents here and grandparents know what it is to use a map. And I'm a bit like that. I still like to look on the map. If I'm going to a place, I'll look up Google Maps on the computer and I'll look through it. I don't like following the sat nav. I like to see it with my own eyes. I like to look at it on a page. But you know, if you're going on a journey, you need a map to find out where you're going. Maybe you're heading out on a day's on a bank holiday or something with your mummy and daddy, and you're heading off somewhere you haven't been before, and you know, mummy says, "Right, daddy, do you know where we go?" "Oh yeah, I know where we're going." And you head off and he doesn't really know where he's going at all. I don't want to give the fathers a hard time. This is Father's Day after all. But, you know, we think, you know, I know what's best. I think I know the way. And maybe the sat-nav says, go left. And, no, I know a better way. And we head off and we end up getting lost. Well, life's a bit like that, boys and girls. If you just go your own way through life and don't follow the roadmap, which is the Bible. Because the Bible tells us that, well, God's Word tells us that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If you want to know where you're going in life, you need to look at the Bible. You need to search God's Word. It's a map. It's a guide for us so we don't get lost, so we don't head in the wrong direction. And sadly, many people today fail to heed the roadmap they've been given. They say, yes, God's Word tells us, but I think I can do it better. The Bible says to get to heaven, we must be born again. We must accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But many people today think, well, I think I can get to heaven my own way by going to church or by doing good works or by saying prayers or being good to my neighbor, trying to be a good person. I think that's enough. I'll do it my own way. And sadly, many people are lost because they're not heeding the roadmap. They're not heeding God's word. There's only one way. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way. We need a roadmap. Otherwise, we'll end up getting lost. Now, I have something else in my bag here. Let's see if you know what this is. This could be a while since anyone used one of these. Does anyone know what this is? Yes? A compass, yes. Now, a compass tells you what direction you're heading. You know, you've north and south and east and west. And years ago, when the like of the explorers went into Africa and maybe missionaries 100 years ago traveled, they needed the compass. They had the compass to find out the direction they're going in. And as I think of the compass, and I think of our lives, we have a helper, someone who points us in the right direction. As we come to the roadmap, as we take God's word, we're told in the Bible that the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, is there as our guide. We read in John 16, verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." And we have God, the Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts. And even as I speak today, he takes the word He brings it into our hearts and helps us to understand. And, you know, sometimes maybe as you read the Bible, as you come to Sunday school or children's meetings, you mightn't understand everything that you hear. But there, the Holy Spirit is there to instruct us and to teach us and to help us to understand. And just as those explorers, those missionaries had a compass, they had the map and the compass, so we have God's Word and we have the Spirit to teach us and show us which way to go. Now, if you're going on a journey, this is very important, especially if you're going into the like of maybe the middle of the jungle or somewhere. You'd need one of these, wouldn't you? Yes, everyone knows what this is, don't you? Yes. What do you use this for? Yes, you tell me. If you get hurt, that's right. If you fall, maybe you run about at home and you fall down and cut your knees and mummy gets out a sticky plaster and bandages up your knee and if you feel better straight away, don't you? They're magic, those sticky plasters. The tears stop once the plaster goes on. But as we think of getting hurt, you know, many people in life are hurt and life leaves us feeling hurt. We have scars. Maybe we can be bullied at school. We can be hurt by nasty words people say about us. Maybe our things our friends do, or maybe something happens in our life. We end up getting hurt. And some people try to fix their problems by sticking on the sticky plasters of maybe going to church and trying to do things to help people. But see, the Bible tells us that we have a bigger problem than a cut knee or a grazed elbow or a sprained ankle. The Bible speaks about this problem we all have, which is called sin. And you see, it's not just enough to put a sticky plaster over our sin. And many people try to do that. They try to fix up their own lives by doing things to cover their sin. But you can't cover your sin by a sticky plaster. The Bible tells us from the sole of the foot, even under the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. In other words, you can't fix sin with first aid bandages or anything else. There's only one way we can cover our sin, and that is by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives. You see, we all are affected by sin. You know, we mightn't all face hurt in life in regards to falling down and cutting ourselves, but each and every one in this meeting, everyone watching online, the Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And to come short means to miss the mark or to miss the standard. You know, as you took part this morning here, the teachers expected a good standard and you were brilliant, a really high standard. If you go to a school, you do exams, you have a standard, a mark that's set to pass, a pass mark. And each and every one of us, because of our sin, we've missed God's standard, because God's standard is 100%. God's standard is perfection. And because we are sinners, because we do wrong, each and every one of us, boys and girls, you don't have to be taught to do wrong, do you? Do you remember a time when your mummy and daddy set you down or your teacher at school and said, right, today we're going to teach you how to sin? No, it didn't happen. Sure it didn't. No. We disobeyed mummy and daddy or said a bad word to friends or were nasty. Well, it just came to you naturally. Because the Bible says that we're born in sin and shape it in iniquity. Each and every one of us. And many people, sadly, through life are trying to fix up their own lives with their sticky plasters of good works and self-righteousness and baptism and all these things. But it's not enough. There's only one way we can be cleansed from our sin, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And He took our place. We all deserve punishment for breaking God's law, for disobeying God, just like you may be punished by your parents for doing wrong at home. Or at school, a teacher might give you lines or detention for doing wrong. If you break the speed limit, you stand before a court, you have to pay a fine. There's a punishment for doing wrong. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He died in our place and He took the punishment that all the boys and girls, all the mummies and daddies deserved. And He stood in our place and He took it upon Himself. And therefore, if we come and trust Him, as we say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've broken your law. I've done wrong. I can't fix myself. I need you to fix me. I accept you as my Savior. He will come in and cleanse your heart and He will make you right. He will bandage you up and He will cover you in His robe of perfect righteousness the Bible speaks of. put his arms around us and heal us from our sin. Something else we need as we travel through a journey in life. We need one of these things here. Torch, yes, torch. Now, hands up, and I'll be honest with me. Hands up, mummies and daddies as well. Who's afraid of the dark? No mummies and daddies, no. Yes, one there's one that's honest. Afraid of the dark. Yes, we don't like the dark, sure we don't. That's why we have lights in the building. We have lights on our cars, we have lights in our houses, the lights on the road. We need light. And we all love that light to see where we're going. We need that light. But you know, the Bible speaks of a lot about light and about darkness. And the Bible speaks about someone who is the light of the world. Can anyone tell me who is the light of the world? Yes, you know? Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. In John 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Isn't that lovely? You would not no longer walk in darkness. We don't like darkness. You see, the Bible speaks of darkness and sin, and they put them together. And if we are still sinners, the Bible says that we are in darkness. We can't see God for who he is. We don't want to see him for who he is. But you see, that when the true light, if you go into your room at night, when you go home and it's dark and you walk in, the room's pitch black, you can't see a thing. You flick on the light. Everywhere you can see, everywhere. The light shines and you can see where you're going. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world to show boys and girls and mummies and daddies and grannies and grandparents that in our sin we're all in darkness. And he has come, this bright and shining light, a light of hope, a light that brings hope to our hearts and lives, and we no longer have to walk in darkness when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, many people don't like the light of the gospel. The Bible again speaks about those in John 3 and 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light, that is the Lord Jesus, is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Isn't that funny? Why would men love darkness rather than light? Why would you rather live in darkness? Because it says their deeds were evil. They were evil. They committed sin. And they didn't want their sin to be exposed. And maybe, boys and girls, you do things, all right? You do wrong. And you don't want your mummy and daddy to find out. Or you wouldn't want your friend or maybe your teacher at school to find out. And you try to hide that wrongdoing unless you wouldn't want them to see it. Well, the Bible speaks about men in their sin, that they don't want to see the light. They don't want to see the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And you can have your eyes open today. Because the Bible speaks about the devil, how he has the world in darkness. He doesn't want you to see the gospel. The devil doesn't want you coming to church and hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ and how you may be saved and made a Christian. He doesn't want you to hear that. He wants you to remain in darkness. But the good news of the gospel is the wonderful light. The light of the gospel. Something else we have in our bag that's very important. Can you tell me now, if you're going on a big long journey, imagine you're going maybe into the desert or into the jungle, and you're going maybe for days and days and days, what would you need? What's one important thing you'd need? Can anyone tell me? You know? Water. Well done, yes. We need water. And I have my water bottle here. You see, we can't survive without water. We all need water to live. We need water to quench our thirst. And again, the Bible speaks about a wonderful water that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. Is anyone here really experienced a real deep thirst? Maybe you've been out playing, really hot day, and we had our Sunday school outing on Friday evening in Londonderry, and we went to Extreme Bounce, a big trampoline park, and it was really warm, and after 5 minutes, I'm not joking, after 5 minutes, all the kids came rushing out, gasping for water. After 5 minutes, they were thirsty, give me water, give me juice. It's an awful thing to have thirst. The Bible speaks about a water that the Lord Jesus Christ gives that quenches our thirst. It's not a physical thirst, but he's speaking about a spiritual thirst. You see, many people in this world, and maybe you see people, and you know, they drink, or they take drugs, or they do all these things that are wrong because they've no peace within their heart. They're thirsting for peace. They're thirsting for something. And they're running after all the sins and pleasures of the world, trying to find that rest, that peace within their heart, but they can never find it. But the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 4:14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And the spiritual water that the Lord gives us everlasting life. Well, that doesn't mean that when you become a Christian, you won't have any more problems or anything like that. But it means that you'll be satisfied, you'll have peace in your heart, you'll be content knowing that you're a child of God, knowing that you have the Lord on your side, that you're going to heaven, and that you're a Christian. Another thing we have here, now this is something, when I was growing up, I loved this, and I'm sure some of the older men here, can anyone tell me what this is? Yes? You know? Sorry? No, it's not. Hold on now, maybe some of the older ones maybe will be able to tell me. Now it's, see now what it is? Yes? Pocket knife, or a Swiss Army knife. And this here is brilliant because there's a screwdrivers on it, there's saws on it, you can go out and cut things, there's files on it, there's loads of different things. And I used to have great fun of this when I was a young fella. Look at that, a saw. You can go out and cut it. It's got loads of things. Really, really practical. Now, if you're going to a desert or a jungle, well, that would be very, very important. If you wanted to light a fire, you could cut off wee twigs and you could light a fire. But one more thing that's more important than that, you have to eat. If you're going on that big journey, you have to eat. You see, if you're in the middle of the desert or the jungle, you can't say, hold on, we need to stop off running to Tesco's here and get something to eat. Or go to McDonald's for a Big Mac. It doesn't exist. You're going to have to hunt and kill and get your own food. And as I thought of that, I thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if you wanted to survive, you'd have to eat. And for you to survive, to eat, an animal or someone else would have to die. As we think about that, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. For us to live, he had to die. Someone had to die in our place so that we might live. And the Bible speaks of how the Lord, on the cross of Calvary, he died in our place. He was sacrificed. He became our substitute. The boys all know what a substitute is. If you think of football, someone else takes your place. And the Lord Jesus took our place. We deserve to die. We deserve to be punished. But he took our place as our substitute. He shed his precious blood. And the Bible speaks about without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness for sin. He took our place upon the cross. And we can be forgiven because of him. Now, something else that we need. Now, this is not my boot. This is my daughter's boot from years ago. But if you're going on an exploration or through the desert or through the jungle, you're not going to wear your nice shoes you're wearing today. You're not the girls in nice sandals and the boys with their shiny shoes. You wouldn't get very far. You'd slip and slide and you'd fall all over the place. And maybe you're a Christian here this morning, young person, boys and girls. Maybe you're a Christian. You've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Well, if so, you need to have the proper footing, the proper shoes on in a spiritual sense. You need to, as it were, watch where you walk. You need to watch what company you keep. Make sure your friends are good friends that lead you in the right direction. And the Bible speaks about putting on the whole armour of God and putting on those shoes. And those shoes the army wore, that the big spikes in the soles, like to give you grip as you walked. You didn't slip and slide. The soldiers in going into battle wore these boots so they wouldn't fall. That they were good standing as they fought against the enemy. And boys and girls and adults as well in the meeting, we need to be grounded in the things of God. We need to read your Bible. You need to pray every day if you want to grow, as the Course tells us. And you need to wear the right footing. Keep good company of Christian friends. And Psalm 1 tells us that we're not to walk in the way of the ungodly. And make good friends at school and keep on the right path and trust God to guide you. I have one last thing here before we finish. Let you home in time for your dinner. Oh, no, this is, yes. You know, a whistle. Yes, a whistle. Now, why is a whistle important? Can anyone tell me why a whistle is important? You know? Call for help. Well done, yes. It sounds out, or it gives a warning, doesn't it? You can, maybe if you're in the playground and the teacher's shouting and you can't hear you, maybe blow the whistle and you all stop what you're doing. And maybe she tells you what you have to do. The whistle gives a warning. And that's why I'm here this afternoon, really, folks, is to give a warning. A warning from God's Word that if you want to go to heaven, well, I have to tell you that you can't go your own way. You must go God's way. And we'll have to warn you that if you don't heed God's way, then you'll end up being lost. But the wonderful good news to this afternoon, boys and girls, is that the gospel here is available. The Lord Jesus Christ, you can receive him into your heart. We all know the ABC of prayer, don't we? Arms folded, heads bowed, eyes closed. But there's the ABC of salvation. Simply A, admit that you are a sinner. Admit that you've done wrong, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Say, I have done wrong. I've broken God's law. I've done wrong. I'm a sinner. B, believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. God's word tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then C, call upon the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's why the teachers, that's why Reverend Porter, that's why they're here every week, is to teach the boys and girls and the adults and us all that we need the Saviour. We need to be saved to get to heaven. So as you think of your life's journey, as you think as you travel through this life, don't you follow the crowd, the people who think, oh, I can go my own way. I can take a shortcut to heaven. I can do my own thing. You follow God's word. God's word is truth. The Lord said, thy word is truth. It's truth. You can't go wrong when you follow the Bible. If you heed God's word today, if you're not a Christian, I urge you, each one of family members, adults, come and trust the Saviour. And get out on the proper path. Go away from the broad road that leads to destruction and follow the narrow path that leads to heaven and to home. The Lord bless his word even to our hearts today.
Thank you to the Reverend Wilkerson for coming and bringing God's word to us today and many vital lessons he's taught us from this bag. I was wondering all what was here. But boys and girls, remember most importantly of all, and adults as well, trust the Lord Jesus. Accept him as your Saviour and be ready for heaven. We're looking forward to Reverend Wilkerson coming again later on this evening. We're just going to turn in closing to hymn number 458. 458. In the page 361, another wonderful hymn reminding us how God gives grace. He saves us by his grace. He keeps us and helps us by his grace day by day. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. Sendeth more strength when the labours increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. We'll stand as we sing 458. just remain standing for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here today. We thank Thee for helping all the children in our Sunday school and all who have taken part. We thank Thee that we've been reminded of Thy goodness, of Thy grace, that Thou art a God who gives and gives most abundantly. We thank Thee for Your word and the message that has been brought to us. Blessed to every heart, young and old alike today. And Lord, may we heed Thy message. And each one of us know and trust the Lord as Savior and follow Him day by day and live for Him. Take us to our homes and safely. Bless us throughout today. Return us again a little while later on this afternoon and bless the final meeting of our Children's Day. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Amen.